letting it be quiet. Even when there might be a lot going on in thinking or feeling or body or sound. Also letting it be that quiet. Letting it be okay, even when there's a lot that isn't okay. Leaving some room for the sweetness of life amongst all the flavors. Maybe feeling the surprise of rain in the desert, a kind of privilege to be present, the richness of a situation that's also uncomfortable in some ways and awesome and simple. And whatever kind of inner weather, letting that it also has its richness and simplicity way up there, waves on the surface of the sea, and just settling down on the bottom. Letting it be that quiet also. We're so used to giving attention to ourselves as busy people. And now what about all these other layers of us that we have ignored, neglected, not felt? So if you like, can play with feeling, okay, here's sounds and body in the field of sounds, reacting, responding, receiving. And also resting way down to the bottom of the ocean. There's sound and body in the field of sounds, responding, sensitive. And maybe somewhere a sense of quietness also, somewhere deep down or throughout. And we could have an inward play where we can feel our system sort of leaning towards hearing. And what do I hear? And we could just lean back in. Hearing is going on and listening for some quiet or opening to some space. Or just an emphasis off of what I hear and the fact of hearing, more inward. And we could play even with tracing, if there's a single sound that we register, we hear. And we can feel as if something from us has reached out and met that sound, like an arm or a branch that reaches out to touch it, to meet it, to check it out. And we could just bring that arm back into our lap. Just to sort of start to feel where my lap is, where is inner quiet. And meanwhile, another arm has reached out for another hand, another sound. But we can feel there's the reaching out and meeting, and maybe a bit alarmed, or checking, or curious, or distracted. And there's a lap, there's some kind of inner central core, perhaps, or space, or just another quality that's not busy. And then similarly with thinking, just checking, how is thinking today, just now, in the immediacy? Just as we, in the immediacy with sounds, in the immediacy with thoughts. And just like with sounds, where we don't quite know what it is or where it is, where does that sound happen? Is it out there? Is it in here? Also with thinking, so just checking what is being thought, what is thinking now? And leaving open, where is it happening? What is it? Enjoying that we don't know so much about thinking, but we can check now what is being thought. And what is quiet, even though there's thinking. Some other feeling capacity that's not the thinking mind that can kind of come on gradually, like a light that comes on gradually. Oh, I can feel my butt on the ground, or my heels, or my head. And we can feel similarly some kind of leaning into the thoughts, identifying with thoughts, thinking that's me or mine. We can feel that arm that reaches out to hold or meet or check out the thinking. And we can let that arm come back to our lap. There's just thinking, and here I am, this warm center, maybe down in the lower body, more. And then how do I feel? How am I? How is this mind state and mood, energy level? As really liking to know, how is the emotional weather? How is the emotional weather happening today in the immediacy, just now? And we can keep asking for a while, how are you and what else? How else are you? What else is going on? in there. As if we're with a really good friend, a really close and wise person who's intimately listening. And when we think we're finished, is still listening. How else are you? And pause, perhaps. The richness and privilege of being in touch with the weather. Letting it be a surprise. And then what else is here? What else is happening? Sound and body and thinking and mind state, energy level, what else is here? Still listening and pause. It's such a privilege to enjoy living this way, to enjoy the preciousness of the livingness. What else is here in the immediacy? Listening and pause. It means I don't know it all. And I'm still here with all the fine listening and kind of holding, meeting, leaving space. Listening more and more in so that we no longer are looking for a category and then an experience we can put into a category. That's a good thought, or that's a hard feeling. Still listening in. To what is less grabbing attention. What is not pushing to the front of the line. Maybe we start to feel some undigested experiences that are kind of sitting here. And just letting consciousness, letting it be met by consciousness, plain. Continuing not to know exactly what we feel, what it is, but feeling anyway. And not getting distracted by whatever story might get made up. Not escaping into an explanation or conclusion, just feeling, listening. And maybe even the sense of me as another machine that we can sort of feel. Okay, there's that machine. There's that mechanism. There's that thing that uses energy that's humming but not very alive. Powerful. But machine-like, in that if I push that button, then that thing happens. If I push this button, this thing happens. And it's just there. Can be felt as another aspect of our situation. A sense of me. Sometimes we can feel it. And maybe like a water bird floating on the water. If above the water is sort of like our conscious, awake, alert, thinking self. And we look around through the air and we see what we see and we think this is it. And then we discover we have the lower body underwater and we start to be able to feel it. We can't see it, but we can feel it. And we realize we're not just that part that's above the water that we can see. There's access to more. And maybe when we practice feeling that more under the water down there, maybe we find a whole other kind of way to explore, way of movement. Center of gravity. Could be even that we find through feeling down into what we can't see clearly and just feeling, pausing, listening, pausing. That having access to that was unconscious through a different capacity, a different kind of knowing that's blind, but feeling, letting the feeling come alive. We may find that we're way bigger than we thought, or we may find a way that helps us find our wings too. Some leverage. And maybe we thought we're separate. When we look around, we're separate. And when we feel down in there, exploring, waiting, not feeling anything, listening, pause, feeling nothing, is that something? The eyes want to look and confirm, and they can't see it. It's nothing. Wait, I feel something. We may revolutionize our experience of what we are. We may discover that the separateness is only true for those eyes up there. So maybe feeling down, feeling where you feel, would be a good way to nestle in and let it be quiet. A quietness that allows feeling to discover. What we've been ignoring, discover a little more finely. I'm here. Here-ness or okayness or aliveness. Sometimes more easily accessible through tuning into the lower body, perhaps. Would anyone like to ask or share anything in words? Is that a hand? Try speaking loudly in case I don't need to repeat, because you're speaking well.
What came in the middle of my body was fear. And it was quite strong, and I say it was fear, even though I couldn't say what I was afraid of. There was no image came, no thought, just that it was fear. And it didn't feel like anxiety, but fear. Mm-hmm. It's a something. It's a strong feeling. Maybe that's good. Maybe it's, there's some reason for it. But I really was waiting for the bell to ring. And I kind of had the feeling that as soon as the bell rang, it felt like a very big bathtub full of fear. And when the bell rang, I kind of had the sense that the plug just pulled and the fear drained away.
Let me just, because I guess you couldn't hear. Could you hear? Yeah?
Yes.
And to the back there? Not so much. So she yesterday and today, I think she means in this meditation time with instructions. She was feeling basically good and quiet, and then inside yesterday was this very strong fear, and she couldn't get rid of it. And so just waiting for the bell to ring, and then the fear could drain away. And today it wasn't so much fear as a strange emptiness that was unfamiliar and not pleasant. Okay. Mm-hmm. So she's saying she still feels shaky. It was shaky today. Not fear, strange emptiness, shaky. That sounds about right. So just lots of different kinds of feelings can come up, but at different times, fear is unavoidable. There's not a way around it. And then just on the subject of a strange emptiness that feels unfamiliar and shaky, brings a shakiness. In both cases, just this sense of letting it be felt very, very plainly in consciousness. And with the kind of strange emptiness that can bring shakiness, sometimes hanging out there very plainly, but our own sort of smoke screen of shakiness or a smoke screen of past experiences of being abandoned or too isolated or something like that. Something that strange emptiness can remind our system of not being held when we needed to be held, for example. or not being heard or resonated with or whatever. And sometimes that smoke kind of disperses or falls away, and this strange emptiness is still a strange emptiness. But there's a phrase from one mystical tradition, the abyss of nourishment. And in the Buddhist tradition, there's a wonderful conversation between David Bohm, B-O-H-M, who was a scientist, with Jay Krishnamurti, who was a, let's say, esoteric scientist, a meditator, supremo, about a strange emptiness from which comes all creativity. I'll try. They were talking about a strange emptiness from which comes all creativity. And so then we could be like expectantly looking for a strange emptiness from which comes all creativity, and we'll be tripping over our expectations. But what to do? We'll trip, we'll fall, we'll learn, it'll start to also calm down. Eventually, we'll get bored of that expectation, pretending that, you know, imagining I've found that strange emptiness from which comes all creativity, and then it isn't. Or I enjoy for a while the dry bone of the frustration that I can't find it, everybody else found it, etc. Like we can indulge in using any idea, including a good one, with our programmed readiness to suffer. And like Odilia was saying, the 20 years vow, in order to learn, oh, it's people. And someone else could be like, 20 years vow to serve people, to realize, oh, it's space. Or independence, or, you know. In the Yoga Sutras, they talk about the two things that are helpful to come to that quiet, the utter quietness, where what is can happen, where there's not separateness. The happening of coming into our not separateness. And one is vairagya, which we translate as renunciation, and then we take that up as a thing to do. That would be like righteous and superior. And what is vairagya is making mistakes. That's all. Vairagya is making mistakes in the way that the 20-year vow guy made the mistake that he had to make so that he could come back into humanity, into his own humanity. So we can just feel what makes the difference between making mistakes that leaves us open and making mistakes that reinforces our closedness, where we repeat the mistake and have a story about how we're not repeating it this time, or I'm repeating it again, or whatever. And then the second, with vairagya, is abhyas, practice. And practice long and true. They specially emphasize a long time. Steady and consistent for a long time. But I'm sure the word must be in there somewhere about sweetness. Or maybe they forgot, because they were so in the sweetness, they forgot to actually pull it out and put it on the page, sweetness. It's where, like, the honeybees go there because it's sweet or whatever. Not me trying to push my nose into the ground, like, stay for a long time. It's like, where do you want to stay for a long, where do you not want to leave? If you could, that you wouldn't leave. That is your practice. And that's a discovery, like, we try that and we stay for a while and then really, if it were up to me, it would be something more subtle, something more subtle, something more subtle, that no, you don't see anybody else. There's no confirmation eventually. At first we get confirmation, yeah. Then no. Just the inner So we've been talking about devotion. But that singular devotion that can accommodate all the little smaller devotions. So yesterday someone was talking about, again, devotion and competing devotion, she felt, between being a mother and being someone who's a creative, successful person in her work. And how to do those two competing devotions. And we talked about the one devotion that is a genius with the mothering devotion and the working creative devotion. A genius with doing that as one thing. Because in the work, what do you love about being creative? And in the mothering or whatever thing that is the other competing devotion for you, maybe your meditation practice and your partner or your body issue and your whatever. Yesterday in Adelia's wonderful talk, the secret problem that the Hungarian partner had that her friend couldn't handle, and we were like, what is it? Well, what could it be? We know. It could be a psychiatric diagnosis. It could be a sexual dysfunction. It could be a murderous brother. It could be a terminal illness.
Financial.
It could be a debt. A gambling problem. He's losing his hair. Or his teeth. Or his mind. No, but it's a wig. So long and sweet. And lots of mistakes. In the rain in the desert. Is there any short one word or question or? So let consciousness touch that. When there's programming and I don't know the cause, what do I do? How do I find what's free from programming? So to let consciousness touch whatever it touches, whatever it can be noticed, I think we could say does two things, which is wonderful. One is what it does to the thing that it touches. It's not me thinking this programming, God darn it, that's in my way, making me imperfect. Just touches, and something goes on. And then consciousness touches that just plainly, no agenda. It also does something that's not about that. It's about what isn't that, so to speak. And both are so good and hard sometimes. Both are good and hard sometimes. The process of the programming deconstructing, falling apart, there's a deconstruction that we can't do But it does happen in that touch. And then it's a process also physically to flush. So if you know a lot's going on, whether you think it's good, bad, you're doing well, badly, whatever, nothing, just drink lots of water. Maybe go to the thermal pool in the desert. Get in there. Eat well. Feel your feet. Rest. Stay warm. Enjoy the wildness. And then that part that's not because consciousness touches something, but the non-something. That we're not only programming. The sweetness of that. Leaving room. It's very delicate, like flower petal, like flower fragrance. It's not a thing we can hold on to, but so there's some more movements, but we'll save it so that we can enjoy our day of silence. And you can come one-to-one or in the evening or write a note.